Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Tim Anderson digging in, 1-for-4 tonight. Good matchup here for a low ball hitter, sinking fastball. Anderson hits it in the air to right. Back at the wall, and the White Sox win it. Well, you can throw the party, but you never know how it's going to turn out. Unreal.
Mully and Haw. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Wow. Well, you can throw the party, but sometimes the party doesn't last. We are delighted to welcome in Scott Merkin from the MLB Network covering the Chicago White Sox. Had a great sit-down conversation with Tim Anderson, and he joins us on The Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire. Aturo.com. Hey, Scott, how are you?
Gentlemen, how are you doing? It's not how long the party lasts, but the intensity of it when it's going on, right? Is that it?
Seems like the party's over. Turn the lights out.
Yeah, turn out the lights is right. I feel so conflicted about everything that happened with Tim Anderson. And, you know, he was a hell of a player, and then he kind of fell off the ledge. How is he recovering from that? And, you know, I saw the quote about him hoping to enjoy baseball again. And I got to tell you, Scott, like, I would prefer if he would talk about getting back to the player he was. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's just tough.
Yeah, you know, I had a good talk with him Wednesday. We talked for about 20 minutes. The story's running today in my newsletter. But, you know, he said that he had a couple, when he got released by the Marlins July 5th last year, he had a couple teams or he had a little bit of interest where he could have kept playing last year, but decided it was time to get healthy, both physically and mentally, and really work on himself. And actually, I had reached out a couple times before then, and when I did hear from him in this offseason, he said that he had, you know, kind of just, I don't know if gone silent is the right phrase, but was really focused on working on himself and working on his baseball. He lives in Atlanta now with his family, so he's really been doing that. And he was pretty candid in admitting that, you know, he made some mistakes too, but there were injuries along the way. And that's, you know, the problem with, you know, when you kind of rely on a rebuild like they're doing now and like they did before, the prospects look great, but, you know, you can stub your toe pretty quickly. He hurt his hand in Texas, which cost him, what, it was the last 2 months of the 22 season, right? Yeah. got to put all the years together at this point. And then 23, he hurt his left knee really early on, and that really screwed up his whole swing. He came back where he felt like he wasn't 100%, but wanted to come back for the team, developed some bad habits, and just was never really able to get over those bad habits. I mean, it's just, it's strange. It really is. From like 2016 to 2022, especially like 20, 21, 20, you know, the beginning of 22, he was as electric as any player in the game, right? I mean, he was, I don't want to say the face of baseball, but he was certainly up there, you know, started an all-star game, played on Team USA for WBC, won a batting title, was close to 100 home runs for his career, and then the last 2 years, by his own admission, have been, you know, pretty bad. He's very excited to get to work with Ron Washington, who's been kind of, I don't know, is infield whisperer the right phrase? I mean, does really good work with infielders. And he knows Ryan Goins, who's a coach there who he played with the White Sox. He knows Tim Laker, who was a minor league coach for the White Sox. So he's excited to get this opportunity. He feels like he's in a better spot than he was at this point last year.
So I understand why you'd want to talk to him. The Tim Anderson story is one full of mystery and intrigue and all those things, Merk. But I don't know what his goal was in talking to you and going on the Foul Territory podcast and maybe starting to make the rounds. Is he trying to send the message that he's healthy physically and mentally? Is he trying to send them? What is he hoping people get from hearing him talk about his experience? Because I think it's easy to look at him and wonder if he's got anything left.
Yeah, it's a good question. I asked him during the interview if he thought about it. He has, you know, we had talked the year before, I believe we were in Kansas City, and we had talked about some of his outside business interests that he has. And I had asked him, had he really thought after, you know, another struggle till a year last year with Florida about retiring? And he said, not going back to baseball more so than retiring, I guess, you know, you're 31, 30. It's kind of tough to say retiring at that point, but it would be sort of. And he said that, no, you know, he said his confidence was shot and, you know, but he knew it was still in there and he wanted to kind of find it. So it's a good question about, I mean, I think he's just kind of, he was waiting for the right moment when he felt comfortable, I think, to talk about what he had gone through, to talk about it. And he really had not, you know, said anything since he got released. He, as he said, he had stayed kind of quiet, hadn't even shown much, like if you look at his social media, aside from him hitting a little bit here and there. So you really didn't know. You didn't know what direction he was going, and maybe, like you said, this is his way of saying, okay, and he admitted, you know, he said he has no leverage, he has no leg up. Really, this is the first time in his career because that he's fighting for a job out of spring training. When he was a minor leaguer with the Sox, it wasn't fighting for a job, it was just, when is he ready, right? You know, he was a top prospect. When is he going to make the team? So there was no fighting for a job, really. It was going to be his when he had hit that point. Now he goes in as a non-roster invite, you know, minor league deal, and he's doing everything, you know, fighting for that roster spot with the Angels.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it is kind of emblematic of kind of what happened in the last rebuild, right? The idea that all these guys that were, you know, it just never happened. It just didn't. For whatever reason, it didn't come to fruition. You had this team and you had this hope. And no, it just did. I mean, in retrospect, and I know there was kind of a self-inflicted portion of it. He talked to AJ about how the scandal kind of slowed him down. It was weird.
He said the same thing. I talked to him a little bit about that, too. Yeah. You know, he said that, yeah, he had readily admitted that. And he said that went into the mental part of things where he had to kind of figure out who he wanted to be moving forward. So, you know, that it was all part of it. There's no, but, you know, you're right. I mean, Tim was not putting it all on Tim, obviously, because there was a lot of good young players in that last rebuild, really good young players. But Tim kind of represented the kind of highs in that rebuild and then kind of the low points, too, right? I mean, you know, with his struggles. I mean, was there a bigger moment than when he hit that? We kind of referred to it as the stalk off in Iowa into the right field corn, right? But was there a bigger moment aside from maybe the game 3 win in the playoffs against Houston during the rebuild in that Field of Dreams game? It was unreal, right? And I mean, he was an all-star starter. He was a batting champ. He was, you know, Team USA in the World Baseball Classic. And now, you know, this is where he is now. But I mean, you look at that entire core who were very talented. I mean, there's no question about it, but Tim is on a minor league deal with the Angels. Eloy Jimenez is on a minor league deal with the Rays.
Yeah.
and Moncada and Abreu are still waiting for, you know, I'm sure they're getting offers. I mean, the other side, but, you know, they're still waiting for a deal for their next employment right now. And that was kind of the position player core of that rebuild.
Is Tim Anderson bitter about his White Sox exit or experience?
No, not at all. I think he's kind of moved on. He did have a funny line where I asked him, you know, did he feel bad or did he pay much attention since he was, you know, off of baseball to what happened to the Sox last year? And he said, no, you know, I didn't have time to feel bad for them. He goes, I felt like I went through 222 losses myself. He goes, so I didn't have time to really feel bad for anybody else. I had to worry about myself. And I get that, right? I get that he was focused on just getting himself back for getting ready for baseball.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy 5 and get 5 free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Scott, you know, it's wild, but we talked earlier today about this idea that San Diego is talking about trading Dylan Cease and, you know, what the Cubs would have to give up because the Cubs are apparently interested. And then you go back and you kind of revisit that deal, and Drew Thorpe is still suffering inflammation, right? Suffering problems after surgery he had. They were going to shave down a bone spur or something. I mean, and he's the key piece. He was the guy that was, you know, moved from the Yankees in their big trade, and then moves to the White Sox in the Cease deal. And, you know, I know he's still a young guy, young pitcher, but it's not really going well.
Yeah, I think probably a little early to judge that, but I see what you're saying. You know, I mean, Thorpe is, you know, Thorpe can always say he was traded for Juan Soto and Dylan Cease, right? That's pretty, that's something to put on your resume right there. But yeah, I was a little surprised when I talked to him last Friday at Sox Fest Live that he said he had had a couple setbacks during the offseason. Mm. He'd had a cortisone shot that morning. And then in texting with Chris Getz, you know, Getz admitted there's always a concern when there's a setback, but they also felt that, you know, they handled this and that he would be ready by April. So he's going to be behind, you know, he hasn't thrown a bullpen yet. So he's going to be behind come spring training. And they're certainly in his first full major league season, certainly not going to rush anything. So, you know, they're still not at the contention stage. So if you're going to, you know, pull back a little bit injury wise, now might be the time, right? I mean, so, but I mean, yeah, I mean, he's a key guy. Ariarte got to the majors last year. Mm-hmm. Could be a back-end starter, could be a reliever. Zavala, very young. Didn't have a great year average-wise last year, but, I mean, I believe is 20 right now, so a lot of room to grow.
Right.
And then Wilson was just kind of a veteran guy to help out right now in the bullpen. So I think the time will still tell, but, yeah, the injury is not what you ever want to see for a young guy like that.
So, Mark, there were some reports and conversation based on an Athletic summary of where the White Sox are looking in spring training and saying that they have had or they did have conversations with the Reds about Luis Robert Jr., which leads you to believe they're still shopping him. I think they might have more value waiting until the trade deadline and gambling that he would still get off to a good start and be more valuable. But what do you think their thought process is a couple weeks before spring training as it pertains to Luis Robert Jr.?
Yeah, I think it could be similar to what they did with Dylan Cease last year, right? Because that was the same. Not, granted, a different situation, you know, pitcher versus position player. But Dylan was, you know, had a great spring. Started off tremendously. There were a lot. There were some rumors about where he was going before. There were rumors about him going back to the winter meetings, actually. And I think they came to a point in spring training where they decided this is the time we have to move him. You know, we can't take a risk. Whatever he brings more, if he pitches 2 months well for us, we can't take a risk of, you know, something happening or him struggling and then the value going down. So they, you know, kind of, I don't know if rounded up is the best word, but put out that they needed the best offers. They got him and they made the trade. I would not be stunned if they did that with Luis Robert at some point during spring training. Luis Robert is a dynamic player. He's a five-tool talent. He had, as complete a season as I've seen with the White Sox in 2023, but he has been injured quite a bit by his own admission. I mean, he doesn't need to admit it. We've seen it, right? We've seen him absent from the injuries and had a rough year last year. Now, I think that's more the anomaly than what Luis Robert is about talent-wise. But if you keep him April, May, you know, looking at the trade deadline and he gets hurt, even for 2 or 3 weeks, that may lessen the value. So I would not be surprised the way Chris is running this if they kind of get into spring training, see how he looks, and then maybe, you know, do the same kind of path that they did with Dylan Cease.
You know, we know that the future looks pretty good for the White Sox. They had the lefty pitchers out, you know, George Wilklaw. You were you know all about who was president Sox Fest, and it seems like the past was well represented. I don't know what to make of the present, you know, after the 41-121 season. We were talking about, you know, we had a chance to talk to Will Venable, and a really bright guy, and you look at some of the changes they've made. If they get 20 games better, they're still going to lose 100. It's crazy to look at how far it fell last year, Mark. What is the best case scenario? Is this team in the midst of losing 100 games? In other words, not just this year, but moving forward to next year? When does the losing period of the program end and the winning begin?
You know, I think if you talk to the Sox, they'd like the losing to end now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, last year was rough. There's no question about it. In the context of a rebuild or not, 121 losses is not what you ever planned for. You know, I mean, you may go into the season saying, okay, you know, like last year, this is going to be a learning year. This is going to be a developing year. We're going to do what we can. But then again, you know, they, not to make excuses, but they had really no room for error and then had nothing but error at the start, right? Robert got hurt. Jimenez got hurt. Moncada got hurt. Vaughn and Benintendi both struggled to begin the first half. So, you know, there's the problem right there at the beginning, at least. So I don't know. I mean, I would think more, you know, towards 26, 27. Looks like, you know, if you go by the natural path of the rebuild, more is kind of the building towards that sort of successful year. But, you know, I don't want to put a number on it now because you just don't know what happened.
Right.
You know, I remember talking to Edgar Caro earlier in the offseason about, you know, one of their young catchers, that he thought they were going to be better this year just because there's going to be a lot of young guys who are going to be really hungry and really competitive and really want to show something when they get there. Now, that's true, but also you have a lot of young guys who are learning, right, which is the whole point of playing them this year, the whole point of getting them out there and letting them take their lumps and then moving forward and seeing what they learn and seeing what we need to fill in. So I think both can be true. So like you said, if they finish 61-101, that's a 20-game jump, right? So, you know, the bar is not extremely high. But I think they'd like to win as soon as possible, but I think it's still, you know, this year is more about giving these prospects who are ready a chance, seeing what you have, seeing what they need, and then seeing what you need as a team beyond that.
So they're not likely to add anybody before spring training or opening day. In your mind, you think that their payroll is going to stay where it is, and they're not likely to add any veterans, whether it's in the bullpen and the position. They have openings available, plenty in that lineup.
I think everything is fluid. You know, I think it depends on, you know, moves they make, you know, and I also think Chris and Will Venable met with us last Thursday at the ballpark, a week ago Thursday, and he said that the heavy lifting had been done, but he said, you know, there's still a lot of guys out there, right? There's still quite a few guys out there, and I just saw someone tweet, not a lot of open 40-man spots out there. So there may be guys that you thought they wouldn't add that they still could as spring training moves on. I mean, nothing says they can't add someone March 1st either, right, if they need someone, if someone's still available. So I think you'd never say it's done. But according to Chris, when we talked to him, kind of the heavy lifting is behind them going into 25.
Hmm. Great stuff, Scott. Appreciate your time, buddy. Good catching up.
Thanks, Mark.
Always good talking to you guys. Take care.
That is the handsome and intelligent Merkin brother.
Hey, it's Mark Schler of the Sinking Truth Podcast. The NFL playoffs are here, and I'll be breaking down every matchup as we get toward the big game. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I on the Sinking Truth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.